Hour number two of the program here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you till 10. Oren, you want to know a fun fact about this song?
What's a fun fact about this
song? So when I was in high school, this song was on the video game Rock Band.
It was.
And me and my friends used to play Rock Band 3 days a week after school, probably. And we got really good at it. I'm talking like national. So I think I may have mentioned this before. On the song Welcome Home by Coheed and Cambria, we were nationally ranked as like the in the top 10 in the world for that song.
Oh, wow.
On expert mode. Yeah, we were really, really good at this game. And
okay.
Yeah. I was the singer. My buddy Matt played guitar. My buddy Dan was bass guitar. And my buddy Nick was on the drums. And we slayed. We got so freaking good at Rock Band. It was a little embarrassing. Honestly.
Rock Band, no, it's a fun game to play.
No, but like how much we played. Like we took it seriously. We really honed our craft. I knew where to hit all the like, because with the microphone, you were in charge of like the boost.
Yeah, you score boost.
I knew where to hit all the boosts, and I knew how to hit all the tambourine jangles. But More Than a Feeling was one of the hardest songs in the game. And I figured out that, because listen, I can't hit that high note.
Those notes are very high.
I can't hit that note.
Did you lower the register then? Kind of lower your register of your voice?
That is exactly what I did. And I figured that's how I figured out how to bypass, because what it would allow you to do was if you couldn't hit the note on the same pitch, it would allow you to lower your pitch and still hit the note. So instead of trying to hit that where my voice would crack, it would almost sound like I was trying to sing it in like a bassy sort of a way. But
there's a couple notes in that song that are ridiculous.
Yeah, but it would still register. So I felt like I was like almost cheating the system. I would still get, you know, a 98%, 99%.
No, that's what like older rockers sometimes do too. When they can't hit those notes anymore, you just lower the whole, like just kind of lower the song a little bit and there you go.
So it's funny you say that. I was watching the other day Metallica, back when they did their concert with the San Francisco Philharmonic Orchestra. And they were doing Nothing Else Matters, which is my favorite Metallica song. And James, for whatever reason, like I guess he felt like it didn't match the vibe of what the orchestra was doing. Instead of going high on the notes at the end before the chorus, he went low. And it just like, it made me angry. I was like, I want my note, James. I was like, what are you doing? You're depriving me, James.
This is what I'm listening to the song
for. Yeah, what are you doing?
Damn it, Hatfield.
Yeah. And so he would, like, instead of, and nothing else matters, he would go, matters. And it just didn't sound right. And I was like, you got the orchestra behind you? Like, what, are you afraid, James? What are we doing? And it was just a funny anecdote there. Talking a little music on a Friday, because it's a Friday in the summer, babe. What else are we doing? 404-726-0929. Before we get into some true-false questions, MLB style, oh, let's hear a couple of things from Raheem Morris when he joined the Midday Show. And the first thing the guys asked him was a lot of what the fans are asking and have asked me, what are you doing to get better, Coach?
You always start with self-evaluation. You always start with, you know, looking at some other people, what they did really well. Go steal some really good ideas. There's a lot of really great coaches in this league. There's a lot of great players in this league. And you can go study just about anything you want. You know, obviously, there's always great room for self-improvement. You know, whatever you do for your health, for your body, for your mind, for your mental state, for all the things that's really important to what we do as an athlete, what we do as coaches, and what we do as an organization, I think is some of the most important things you do. I happen to have some of the great leadership that I have. When you're talking about Arthur Blank, being a lean on his experience, being a lean on Terry's experience, Ryan Pace, Kyle Smith, all of those guys' experiences you can lean on, different things, different aspects of life, different walks and ways to do about your business. I just think always things that you can really help and be helpful for. And you take your time as you go through the offseason, you just go through those things and you go through that checklist every year to make sure you can come back a better version of yourself.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, ultimately all that. We know Raheem could talk a mile a minute, literally. So that's great. I had no doubt he would say all the right things, but we'll see when that first – Oren, it might be week one against Tampa. You got, you know, three minutes and 23 seconds left in the game.
Look,
you're tied.
Clock. Uh-oh.
You're tied 17-17. You're driving. You know, Penix shoots a
getting
deep one down the field.
Yeah.
You know, is he going to call the timeout or is he going to try to get them to hurry up? Like, oof. That's what we'll see. He was also talking about what Penix needs to show out in camp.
He's really started it already. You know, it's just the leadership and the ownership of the offense and getting these guys out there and getting together. And his voice becoming bigger, right? His voice is becoming bigger every time he steps in that huddle. His voice gets bigger every time he makes a correction to a wide out, a running back, the O-line, a protection, whatever it is. Every time he talks to Zach, every time he talks to me, every time he communicates situational ball, like we're able to display there at the end of practice in the Mamba period. You know, you just love the fact of watching him grow and develop. And still, every single time, you're so impressed with the poise of the young man. That's just outstanding.
What do you think fans are going to see from him, Penix specifically, that they got the three-year, the three-game sample set, you got a chance to see him a little bit, but still pretty unfamiliar with what he is. What do you think fans are going to see from him that they don't know yet?
I think, Andy, these guys got a chance to see it today. They got a chance to see him unleash a big arm and throwing it downfield and really stretching the field. You know, you're talking about a guy that can throw every level of the field, every layer of the field, and be able to get that up. You know, but the important part for him is focus on his completion percentage to make sure we can make the layups, to make sure we can keep the drives going and go down the field. But as you know, man, he can unlock it. He can uncoil. And when he has the ability to do that, we got to be able to come down with some of them big shots down the field.
Yeah, and all that comes with running the ball first and making sure you can hit the easy ones, as Coach said. All right, good stuff there from Raheem Morris, exclusively with Andy and Randy right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, let's hit some true-false questions.
All righty, sir. Let's start with question number one and keep it here local.
Hot stove starting to heat up.
Hot stove here in Atlanta. Marcell Ozuna, most likely the candidate to be shipped out from this Braves team. True or false?
I'm going to say false just because.
Oh, that wasn't even the question. But go ahead and answer that, though. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say false because of the injury and the inconsistency over the last month, month and a half. It looks like he's starting to turn it back around, but that hip, it looked like it was rearing its ugly head big time all throughout June. Like, what? Now, here's the question. Like, if you did let him go, what are you going to get? I mean, not much.
That was the next question I'm going to ask. True or false, if the Braves do move Marcell, he does not draw back the other teams or a team's top 10 prospect.
Ooh, top 10?
Top 10 prospect. I saw today that the guy the Yankees got.
Ryan McMahon.
Ryan McMahon. He pulled like a 16 and a 38 team prospect, according to Baseball America, from the Rockies.
No, Orin, I'm going to say no. Because he's injured. And he needs a new contract next year. And he's inconsistent right now. I mean, we know if he's healthy, he's good for 30 bombs a year. But he's just not that right now. I don't think they move him because I don't think they're going to get anything for him. And then he's just going to – I don't think they're going to re-sign him next year because I think this platoon DH thing that we've talked about is what they're going to do. I think it's going to be
– Drake and Sean.
And Sean and then Acuna.
Acuna.
Yeah. So that – no. Because if a team offers you their 52nd best prop, like, you're just like, no, I'm good.
That really doesn't – at that point, is it worth moving them?
Yet? No, it's not. It's like, give us what you can for the rest of the year. We'll thank you and say goodbye.
Okay. The Mets have been checking in on Sandy Alcantara down there in Miami, but are hearing that the price is very steep. Don't know if the Mets will continue, but question number three, true or false. Whatever team picks up Sandy Alcantara in the trade deadline, he's going to be the pickup of the trade deadline, true or false?
I mean, good Lord, if you look at his numbers right now.
His last start, he threw in 7 shutout and had 4 strikeouts. So they were saying maybe that's a sign of things to come. But the first half, he's got like a
you ready for these numbers?
An over 5 ERA, right?
No. You ready for these numbers?
Let's go for it.
He's 5-9, 357 winning percentage in 20 starts with a 6.66 ERA.
Yeah, you don't want to have all those sixes.
No. That is a negative 1.5 WAR for a starting pitcher. Yikes. And listen, I get it. You know the potential's there. You know we want a Cy Young. But he has a 6.66 ERA.
That's not great.
No.
But then again, for a guy, I guess, with the potential, I guess, of what he could be. I mean, if you're the Marlins, too, I mean, hey, ask for the world and see if somebody will give it to you. But it doesn't mean you're going to get it. But I mean,
in 2022, when he won Cy Young, he had an 8 WAR. He was 14-9 with a 2.28 ERA. So that's the ceiling. That's what, but we know a lot of pitchers get these injuries, and then they never come back.
Just never.
That's
never
why
the same.
We were so worried about Strider, honestly. So I'm going to, no. Ugh.
So whatever team trades for him, they'll have next year, he'll be in a contract for $17.3 million. And then they have a club option in 2027. So essentially you have him for 2 years of control. 2 years, $38 million you're going to be paying him. So,
and so they're going to want like a top, speaking of prospects.
That's going to be a top 10 guy right
top
there.
10, top 10,
top
5?
Top 30 guy, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. No, I'm going to say he doesn't have it this year.
Okay. Question number 4. Mariners started the big moves, was it last night, by acquiring Josh Naylor from Arizona. True or false, Josh Naylor is not the last deal the Mariners do this trade deadline.
They could use another bat. They have a great pitching staff.
Starting to get healthy right now, too.
Yeah, I mean, they just got guys for days. Some guys you never heard of, like Brian Wu. You're like, who is that? Oh, he made the All-Star
team. Brian Wu's a really good pitcher.
He's like, oh, he made the All-Star team this year. George Kirby, who is that? Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm going to say they make another move because, I mean, they've never won a World Series, I don't think, as a franchise.
They have not. Got.
They had the 116 win
year,
in 2001.
Lost in the,
lost
NL,
to the Yankees.
Yeah, Yankees in the CS, yeah.
And I don't – have they made a World Series since then? I don't think so.
They
had all those years with Ichiro and King Felix, and they just were never able to break through. So if they're in a position to go for it, why not?
Absolutely. Final question here, sir. The big bat, this trade deadline, Eugenio Suarez, 36 home runs right now for the Diamondbacks. True or false, Suarez makes any team he's traded to an automatic World Series contender?
No, false. He's a terrible third baseman. And I think that's why the Yankees went with McMahon over him, because McMahon is a good third baseman.
They took the lesser bat but the better glove.
And then you can put Jazz Chisholm back at second base where he belongs. They had, like, here's the problem with the Yankees. They have all this payroll and all this star power. But for those who don't, I mean, I just check in on them because they were my favorite team growing up before I moved here to Atlanta. So I just check in. They had, like, four guys playing out of position. And you're not going to win. You're just not going to win like that. So this move for Ryan McMahon, who was the big deal of the day, allows them to sort of reset. They got DJ LeMahieu out of there, so now they have people back playing to their natural position. He should really be a DH, Eugenio Suarez, at this point. But he can rake. I'll tell you that. He's going to finish with 50 home runs this year probably. So I'm going to say no, just because if they're counting on him to do anything defensively, that's a big ask for him. He's not a good defender. All right, good job on 5 MLB True and False. Trade deadline will be here before we know it. When we get back, on a scale of 1 to Looney Tunes, how crazy is Jerry Jones? We'll get that answer and more as we check in with our buddy RJ Choppy, co-host of the morning show 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. And the Braves do play the Rangers. We'll preview that series as well. That's coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey app.